Laura, it's that time of the year again for the great backyard bird count. And I know you've had some affiliation with Cornell, which was one of the originators. Talk a little bit about where the idea for this came from.
The idea came in 1998. That's the year they did the first one. We long have depended on the Christmas bird count for giving us data about bird numbers in winter. But the Christmas bird count is held in December, at the very end of December, when a lot of birds from the north haven't made their way here yet, and a lot of straggling migrants may still be up here that are supposed to head south. So the idea for the Great Backyard Bird Count came in order to get a consistent form of data that can give us information about midwinter when everything is just winter birds.
And it's a relatively easy thing to do if you want to participate, right?
Right, and it's getting easier and easier, especially for me and other people who use eBird. eBird is a way we can report our birds day to day, what we're seeing, getting our bird lists out for other birders and for ornithologists to have that data. And when you're in the habit of using it now, all you have to do is eBird your birds during those 4 days, and all those birds will count for the Great Backyard Bird Count, too. But all you need to do if you don't belong to eBird is to go to birdcount.org, and that will give you all the information you need for the Great Backyard Bird Count.
I imagine for the ornithologists and so forth, this is a wonderful thing to have happen because they have volunteers helping them get data.
Right. There are just so many birders now who take advantage of eBird. The cool thing is that, like, I was just visiting my daughter in New York, and I could just go to eBird.org and find out what cool birds have been seen lately, and it will not just give me an idea of what species have been around, but exactly what days and where. And they use Google Maps, so it'll just, in my cell phone, it'll just take me right to the bird.
And from what I've seen of this, it's really, it's not strenuous. It's just mainly just observing what you see in your own backyard, right?
Right. The same for eBird. When I'm out birding, I can use multiple checklists if I go up to the bog in northern Minnesota so that I can keep track of exactly where I see them. That used to be a pain in the patootie, but they've made the eBird app so seamless now. It'll tell you what the nearest hot spot is, have your location, and then you just report the birds there and how many minutes you're there. Then you go to your next spot and start a new checklist. And eBird keeps track of all that, keeps track of your life list, your year list, your county lists. It's pretty amazing and extremely easy. The Cornell Lab's interest in developing eBird and the Backyard Bird Count were to get really good data from as many people as possible. They call it citizen science. And they've really done an extraordinary job of making it user-friendly for regular people who, unlike me, do not make bird watching the focus of their entire lives. You do need to register, and it's free. It's just a simple registration, and they want your email, but you can opt out of getting email, you know, inundated with requests for money and stuff like that. But it's free. The data is so useful for showing winter bird trends over time. And in a year like this year, where snowy owls are appearing in all kinds of places, but not an unusual number here in Duluth, they can look from year to year and see where the big focus is, where the evening grosbeaks might be that year, where the red or white-winged crossbills might be. It's very valuable for studying all those important bird population things.